Thank you for listening to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses worship service program this morning. We are so thankful you have decided to join us today. We are the Church of the Roses at 2500 Patio Court in Santa Rosa. We are the church that has the program that feeds the Montgomery High School students a free breakfast every morning when high school is in session. We support the Boys and Girls Club across the street on Hammond Drive. And we also sponsor a lot of different programs such as the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, the Council on Aging, a spiritual direction program. We have hearing aid support groups and many other activities that you can join us and become involved. We believe that the Church of the Roses is here to reach out with nurturing love to the whole community of Santa Rosa and beyond. So we hope that you will feel comfortable and welcome, not only listening to this service today, but also coming in person to our worship services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So God bless you, and we hope you enjoy this day.
Thank you.
amazing how those choir masks really enable them to sing, isn't it? I could hear it beautifully, so thank you so much. It may feel stifling to you, but the sound was really nice. I wanted to mention that that Psalm 1 that was read by Joe, Pastor Joe, it was a psalm that one of my mentors, Reverend Martinez was his name, down in the Dominican Republic. He would always teach the children in the Sunday school class that he had at his church Psalm 1 and had them memorize it as the very first thing that they would do at their church. And I thought that was interesting because we tend not to do that at our Sunday school, but it is a very good one for kids especially to think about not being led astray by the wicked. So that's why I had Psalm 1 in here today. And then I wanted to say that after our sermon, like for Mia and Macy June, for Maya and Macy June, and for Mia and Elijah, and for Cairo, they are all going to be making doves back in the back if you guys want to do crafts during the service. And then when we have the song, We Are Marching in the Light of God, I was going to encourage the kids to march around holding their doves while they're singing We Are Marching in the Light of God after the service. So if you want to make a dove, or even if you don't want to make a dove, you could still march around during that song. It's a really fun one for kids to get lively with. And now our second scripture reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. Listen now for the word of God. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, to stop his disciples from arguing about who is the greatest, Jesus replies, "Of course we all know Muhammad Ali is the greatest." Not really. He didn't really say that. But remember Ali? There's a new documentary coming out now about his life. And he used to say, I can float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. And he really was the greatest for a while at boxing and at boasting, too. But the disciples are also wrangling for power in the kingdom of God. So Jesus puts them in their place. He explains, if they want to be first, they must not strive to be first, but they should strive to be the servant of all. Then he puts a child in their place. He takes one of the least of these and picks up a child to demonstrate how important it is for them to value those who are devalued and dismissed. In a parallel passage in the book of Matthew, it is recorded that Jesus said this same message, but he says it this way, "Truly I say to you, unless you become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now we find in the gospel that Jesus loved children and valued spending time with them. He empowered children even to minister to the world. And he encourages believers still today to adopt the heart and mindset of a child in their trusting attitude and faith as well. Now, it was traditional in those days to view children as annoying and insignificant and weak. They were viewed as property, too, to be used more than cherished. But in Mark 10:14, Jesus famously rebuked his disciples for turning away those who were bringing children to him. It says, when Jesus saw this, that they were turning the children away, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Now, God has made it abundantly clear that children have a mighty role to play in the kingdom of God. They are not a nuisance or a bother. They are God's treasure. Their prayers are heard, their hearts are felt, and their praises are just as powerful as those of any adult. The Bible records on numerous occasions that Jesus went out of his way to heal children suffering from sickness and mental illness. Jesus casts a demon from a Greek woman's daughter. Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Jesus heals a royal official's son in Capernaum. Some would have seen these interactions with children as a waste of time. They were just children, after all. They held no status or significance, and in a time when children, widows, the sick, and the elderly didn't get much respect, Jesus came and flipped all of society's previously held perceptions about children and the least of these on their heads. Jesus made it clear that in his kingdom, status and significance are not born of wealth, power, influence, or age. Our worth does not come from how many years we've been on this earth or the things we've done. Our worth comes from the beauty of God's grace. Young or old, we are all God's children, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, Jesus encouraged his followers to look at the simplicity of faith and humility in children as an example of how they should live. Think about your own childhood. Who influenced you in the faith? Who helped you feel valued and cared about? Who gave you the attention you needed to feel nurtured by the church or by someone who had faith and encouraged you to also have faith? Who was like Jesus to you and welcomed you, appreciated you, and saw value in you even as a child? Think back to your own childhood. I think for many of us, our grandmothers and our mothers and maybe our fathers too had a big influence. My grandmother and then my mother and her two sisters had a big influence on my faith. But outside of the family, my Sunday school teachers were very influential as well. And that's why we encourage you to join the children's ministry so you can have an influence on our children's lives that we have here today. My church camp counselors, too, were very important. I went to church camp all the time, every summer. And even my neighbors in college, the ones who went to church, they invited me to church, and I went with them, and they influenced me to go. As a child, you look up to the adults around you, and you watch every move, and you listen to their voices. You can tell who in the church is sincerely caring about you and who just tolerates you. And the words to the music that I learned in Sunday school had an influence on me too. That is why the words and hymns now mean a lot to me today. The song, "This Little Light of Mine," that we started singing when we were indoors, it shows appreciation for children and understanding that the light of the Holy Spirit resides in them as well. And I was taught in Sunday school another song called Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam to Shine for Him Each Day. It was written by a woman named Nellie Talbot, and it goes, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for Him each day. If you know, sing along. In every way, try to please Him at home, at school, at play. A sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. A sunbeam, a sunbeam, I'll be a sunbeam for Him. Thank you, Althea, that helped a lot. I was on a bus one time in Chicago visiting a friend during college, and a woman on the bus, an African-American woman, just broke out singing that song. And it was amazing how many other people in the bus started singing with her. It was such a fun kind of bonding moment with strangers in Chicago one time. Now, it is amazing what influence a song can have positively or negatively on children. And that's why some of the songs on the radio can be very negative, too, for children to hear. So we always have to protect our children from what they listen to and videos that they watch. But children can easily grasp faith in simple ways. When you explain faith is trusting that what God will do, what God promises, the message kids need to hear then is God promises to love you unconditionally, with no hesitation. No matter what mistakes you might make, God still loves you. You are loved just the way you are, and you are beautiful in God's eyes, always. And Mr. Rogers, you know, Reverend Mr. Rogers, he's a Presbyterian pastor, he used to turn these messages into songs and skits on his show. And the Reverend Mr. Rogers was speaking for God when he sang this song regularly on his show. Turn the sound up a little.
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now, the way down deep inside you. Not the things that hide you, not your toys, they're just beside you. But it's you I like. Every part of you, your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new. I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like, it's you yourself, it's you. It's you I like.
And that's a good message for adults too, not just for kids. Our society talks so much about our appearances that it's easy to think that that is what people value us on. But Mr. Rogers is really good about changing that message. And here are a few more messages from God. God promises you will never be alone, and God is with you always in spirit until the end of time. God will listen when you pray, and God wants you to have hope and a good future. God wants you to not be afraid, but have peace in your soul, knowing that all will be well, if not here on earth, then in heaven. God wants you to be God's hands and feet in the world, helping others feel loved, and to bring peace and healing to the world. And God wants you to not worry, but just pray when you are scared. You are important to God and loved more deeply than you can hope for or imagine.
You are a beloved child of God, each one of you, and a special creation made to show the world what love, joy, peace, and hope is all about through the way you live your life. This is the gospel message of love that God has for each one of us, young and old. If you didn't get this message from your parents or from your church as a child, you can embrace this message now. The hope in the baptism sacrament is that a sacred blessing is bestowed by the Holy Spirit upon the people who are baptized. And that blessing is meant to convey God's grace and make a covenant promise with that child or adult that they are beloved by God and sealed by the grace of God. Eternally loved and eternally blessed. That love goes beyond their time on this earth, too. God's love stretches out into infinity and beyond. It is everlasting and everlasting. Thanks be to God.
We are mama.
Peace and